Listen, I appreciate you giving me your time today. It's much appreciated.
It's just been, sorry for the mix-ups, just been kind of busy here and I had to go through some different stuff, so we're here now.
Yeah, no, I mean that's fine. No, I mean it all happens, and I know that. Doesn't say I really appreciate it.
No worries, bro.
Obviously, before we get into your like the MMA and the wrestling side of things. Obviously, nowadays you have moved into a whole different aspect of life, and I've been looking on your website, and for those listening, obviously it's kenshamrock.com, that you've obviously you're doing motivational work, and especially and also you're doing a lot of work with young people and so on. How did you segue into doing that, coming from the athletic career that you had?
I came from that world. I was a young boy at 10 years old. I went through a lot of troubles as a young kid. I didn't have much of an upbringing. Grew up on the streets pretty much. Ended up at juvenile hall at 10 years old for strong-arm robbery, and I got stabbed, gunned with the wrong people, and spent most of my teen life and young child life in the ward of the court. And ended up in group homes and work camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of history with that. So when I had people like my dad, Bob Shamrock, who owned the group home, and he adopted me and showed me the right way to do things, along with my mom, Dee Dee, showed me, which was my adopted mother, Dee Dee, who it showed me the right way to do things. And so now it's I've been successful and had opportunities to take my anger out in something positive and be successful. And so I feel that, the opportunities that were presented to me and given to me, and I was helped through these things because people helped me do that. And I felt like it was my opportunity to turn around and do the same thing.
I mean, do you think obviously with those sorts of things and with like the Lansdowne Ministry stuff and so on, do you think that obviously your name and as you say the success that you had helped to open the doors for you to be able to speak to like troubled kids and so on?
Well, it definitely gives me a platform for especially young children who obviously will watch the stuff and say, "Wow, that's cool." It does give open doors for me and give me a platform to be able to speak to some of these kids and they'll listen. Whether they, take it to heart and actually apply it in life, well, that's I can plant the seed and I can give hope. Them that are trying to help them at wherever they're at, that's got to be able to water them and nourish them and teach them the right way to do things. But I definitely want to make sure that I can at least have the opportunity to show them that there is a way and that there is hope.
I mean, you mentioned your like the tough background or the hard background that you had growing up, but yet obviously at school and college you excelled at sports. Do you think this is well most like a release or a distraction for you from how things were for you to do that?
Well, it really worked for me because I was a very angry kid. A lot of bad things happened to me at a very young age. So I was angry and I took it out physically on other people. And so when I was taught how to channel that anger into something positive, which was football, wrestling, whatever sport it was, eventually, becoming a fighter, I was able to channel that into positive directions. Without those things, they're channeled in the wrong direction, and then, of course, I'm in trouble all the time. The same thing goes for people that are more intellectual or more visual or more hands-on with art or music. There's so many different ways that people vent their frustration and anger. Depending on their personality, mine happen to be very outward and very physical. Where there are some kids, it's more inward, where it's more through the voice or through their minds of art, or through drama, acting things out. So there's so many different ways that you can teach children who are very angry and have every right to be angry, but they just need people to show them the right way to vent that frustration and anger into stuff that's positive.
Now, just out of interest, because it's one thing I've never read or seen. Obviously, say you did the sports and the wrestling and so on at college, but were you or had you been a pro wrestling fan before you got involved and trained for that?
Obviously I watched it. My dad watched it, and so I watched a little bit of it. But my recollection, the very first, I think, wrestling thing I ever saw, which was always kind of stuck in my mind, was Pat Patterson and Moondog Mayne. It was, they were going at each other pretty good. I was a young kid, so to me it was pretty big and pretty exciting to watch that. So yeah, so I did take a kind of a liking to it, but as I got older, I lost interest in pro wrestling and it moved more towards football. I wanted to be a professional football. I wanted to be in the NFL. I had a lot of these big dreams as I was growing up as a kid, in and out of placements, and really never having an education because I was going from placement to placement. But I had dreams. And those dreams were just in my head because wasn't able to really act them out consistently in a school, whether it was a kindergarten or whether it was preschool or whether it was grade school. I didn't stay in one place long enough to be able to kind of act out and fulfill my dreams, So it wasn't until I was probably a freshman in high school that I settled down into a home. And I was there for any amount of time to really live out my dream and really make a challenge to actually go and become what I wanted to be.
Now, in the early 90s, obviously you moved from wrestling and you into MMA, where you're involved with Pancrase and obviously then UFC. How did that move come about? How did you get involved in the MMA world?
Well, my involvement with that was I was actually doing pro wrestling in Mooresville, North Carolina, with Nelson Royal and Gene Anderson. They had a pro wrestling school up in Mooresville, North Carolina, and we went up there. My first experience was with Buzz, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer in Sacramento, and he ended up, getting killed. So I went on to Mooresville, North Carolina, and found those guys, and they were teaching a school out there. I jumped in on that, and very quickly became their heavyweight champion. Like in 6, 7, 8 months, I was a world champion, and then I was going over to Japan and doing now Baba's group. Within a year of me being a pro wrestler, so I picked up things very fast. And if you look at my career, almost everything I've ever done, whether it was the UFC or whether it was Pancrase, whether it was pro wrestling or whether it was a tough man contest, I always became the world champ.
Now, obviously, in those early days, you were in MMA. You were known for your rivalry with Dan Severn and the Gracies and so on. But how would you compare the UFC of then with the commercial juggernaut UFC that we have now then?
Wow, UFC then and UFC now. What's the difference on that? It was raw. I mean, it was really raw. You had guys that were truly from different disciplines. You didn't have the mixed martial artists that you have today. We had no holds barred, NHB, and it was guys coming from their disciplines, strictly their disciplines, and they went and fought each other in their disciplines. And so to me it was definitely, it was no holds barred, no rules, no time limit. You fought 3 to 4 times in one night, bare knuckle. So it was intense, just to say the least, because you didn't even know you were going to fight next. You didn't know anything about them. So it was definitely the Wild West compared to today, where it's all technical. You know everybody, they got records, you know how to pull up and train for them. Obviously the skill levels are much, much higher than what we had, because you have all the techniques and everything to train with now. Back in them days, there was only two people really that had the skill level to be able to do a professional training camp, and that was myself and Royce Gracie.
No,
And I made this stuff up, though. I had to make this stuff up as I went because there's really nowhere to train. Gracie's basically did, jiu-jitsu, which was grappling. They didn't strike. took guys down. So I really developed the stand-up style and the grappling style, which I was doing in Japan, the Muay Thai, along with the grappling. And I mixed the two together, and that's when I brought it into actually the Pancras organization first. And then when the UFC came out, I brought the my mixed martial arts discipline into the UFC, which if you look back on it, I was the very first mixed martial artist.
I mean, you obviously at this point, or by this point in the mid-90s, whatever, you had set up the Lion's Den gym and so on. Was training guys and helping guys to develop always something that you had a passion for and you wanted to do?
I did, and the way that set up was I was training over in Japan, and with what we talked about a little bit earlier, was I was trying to find, you know, places to train, and, you know, there's just nowhere to do that, where you could strike, punch, kick, knee, you know, suplex people, get them on the ground, and then work submissions along with some strikes, and it's just nowhere to train for that. So I had to bring different guys in, kickboxers and wrestlers and boxers, and basically train with them in their discipline. You know, I'd wrestle with a wrestler, but I would work with submissions, and I would stand up and I would train with stand up guys, and I would strike them, and I would work the clinch and takedowns. So I had to train while I was here, because there's nowhere here in the United States to really train this technique. So I developed a gym, and I picked what I thought would be a dominant character, which was the Lion, King of the Jungle, and I ended up bringing guys in, and I started putting together training camps for guys to come in and see if they wanted to be a part of what I was doing, be a part of the club. And they had to go through a series of exercises and fighting in order to pass and become a part of the Lion's Den. And once they were in, then I started to develop their styles, from stand-up to ground to clinch, to all the things you needed to be a mixed martial artist. And within a year, I had guys that I could actually train with and be able to get prepared for fights in my own gym. So with that being said, the Lion's Den, because I was looking for guys to train with and I needed people to work with, I ended up developing fighters, guys that became very good and helped me train, and also became the first mixed martial artist gym in the world.
Right. In 97, obviously you made the move back to pro wrestling and we joined the WWE. How did you find the transition back to, like, I'll not say pure entertainment, because I know that's not, but just how did you find the move back from the MMA back to the pro wrestling world?
Well, because I had some experience early on when I was down with Nelson Royal and Gene Anderson in North Carolina, I needed to do. The difference is this time was that I truly understood what I needed to do. Are you still there?
Yeah. Sorry, I cut off for a second, but yeah.
It was like I knew what to do. I was already in front of big crowds before. I'd been in Japan already in front of a big crowd, and I knew how to entertain people. And I went into the Pancras organization, and I also took that same kind of character that was my personality, developed a bit in the UFC. And then as I became very popular in the UFC and became the world champion, I had an opportunity to make a move because the organization couldn't pay me enough money to support my family. And I had talked with the owner at the time, Bob Meyerowitz, and he basically gave me his blessing and said, yeah, you got to do what you got to do for your family. And then I made the move to the WWF and basically took my character with me. And I took my submissions with me, and I developed the arm bars and the chokes and the ankle locks and the knee bars and all the things that I wanted to do in pro wrestling, from mixed martial arts or no holds barred into the world of pro wrestling. And now, today, you look at the pro wrestling and it is filtered. It is completely changed from the time I entered pro wrestling till the time that I left or before I was there. Now you see all these submission holds that are in there all over the place. So I like to think that I made a difference.
I mean, when you were there, obviously you had been Intercontinental Champion and Tag Champion and you won King of the Ring and so on. And there were a few times I know when the fans thought that obviously you were on the cusp of winning the heavyweight title. Was there ever any genuine talk of that, or was it just maybe a hope that you had?
Talked to me about it a few times, and he had the belt at the time, and he was going to drop it to me. And he had made mention, and I guess he had discussions about, because The Rock was going to move up, and I was going to move up, and I thought that I was going to move up and, challenge for the belt, but The Rock went ahead of me, which was fine. He was a great worker, and so he went up, and I thought, okay, cool, no problem. I'll work my way up. And I would get a shot myself because, I traveled that same path. But he ended up jumping in front of me, which was fine. I had no problem with that. And got the shot at the title, ended up capturing it. And I just figured that I would be right behind him, considering that at those times, our matches that we had was really main event material. And we were the main event a few times. And so I really believed that that opportunity would come. But it never did, and as we all know, there's always politics in everything that we do, and I just have no idea why that decision was made.
I mean, like, you were obviously you've been involved. You were involved in many memorable things. You had the Lansdowne match with Owen at SummerSlam, and you've been part of the corporation. And you had runs, as you were saying, with or like against Foley and The Rock and Davey Boy and Shawn and many others. What do you think, or what was your favorite memory, or the memory that stands out the most for you with your time there?
Well, I think a lot of memories for me were just the opportunities for me to get in there with guys like, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold, Bret Hart, Owen Hart. I mean, I don't think there was a superstar that I did not get a chance to work with. And, that right there is a blessing. I was there a short time, and I moved up quick, and I was in a lot of big matches, a lot of, I believe, history-changing matches, the one with Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I believe, pro wrestling. I was a big part of helping do that because of my persona and where I came from in the match that Stone Cold and Bret Hart put on. It just was tremendous. Then being able to capture the Rookie of the Year, King of the Ring, Intercontinental title, Tag Team title, within a 2-year period. So I was on fire and just blazing through. And it started turning and going the other direction real quick. So I don't know if it had to do with my affiliation with Bret Hart and Owen Hart or what, I don't know. But I think it's only fair that a guy pays respect to a guy who took him into his house, trained him, prepared him to go into pro wrestling and go with Big Van Vader. He allowed me into his home, allowed me into his family, and allowed me to be a part of his family. For me not to be able to support him and then get punished for it later on, to me, where does it end?
Now, obviously, just before we leave the wrestling side of things altogether, you were the first TNA heavyweight champion. How did you come to sign for them? Was it through Jeff or your friendship there, or was it just a natural thing?
Well, yeah, Jeff Jarrett, I remember they kind of broke off, and him and his dad were going to put together a program. And so when they did that, I was like, all right, well, cool. God bless him, and I wish him the best. And they went out, and they did it, and they started getting some traction. And at the time, I was in the middle of fighting still. And so they asked me to come in and do some spots in Nashville on the TNA show, and I said, I would love to. Anything I can do to help you out, I would love to. And at the time, I had the name, in the MMA. I went back into it, and so I went ahead and went out there, and I had a few matches, and Jeff's dad came to me and said that, we're gonna put the strap on you, and we're gonna give you that shot. So I'm around the match, and I ended up winning that, and I became that champion. And at the time, I really didn't realize that the history of TNA, and that I was the first champion, because the organization, the name, and everything had changed. It was new. So I was pretty blessed to be there and to have that opportunity to carry that strap for the first time. And, you know, this is what I talk about, just the opportunities that I've been given through hard work, faith, and never giving up. You know, I came from a kid with really nothing, lived on the street, to becoming the first ever champion over in Pancras, first ever over in Japan mixed martial arts champion, the first UFC single fight super fight champion, the first TNA champion. You know, the list goes on. It's the opportunities were definitely there. I seized them. I took advantage of them. So again, I just feel blessed that I had those opportunities.
Right. You returned obviously to UFC after that, and you had a well-renowned rivalry with Tito amongst others. But in 2003, you were inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. How proud a moment was that for you to be just reflected and respected in that way?
Well, you know, you work your whole life to like get to a certain level, and then when you achieve that in several different areas, I never really took time to look and see the things that I had done. But that's the moment where you really get an opportunity to look back and see your accomplishments play out right in front of you, because they're going to honor you by giving you, a trophy and show your history and the things that you did. Other than that, you really didn't have an opportunity to look back. So it was a special moment to be able to take that time and really soak in and understand what it was that I had did for mixed martial arts and no holds barred, and what I meant to mixed martial arts and no holds barred. It was a good feeling.
Now, these days, obviously, just as we head towards the last question to you, these days we have Brock Lesnar, who is acknowledged as a two sport star, obviously in UFC and mixed martial arts, and then WWE. But obviously, you had blazed that way before him in the 90s. How do you think that, or how would you like to be remembered in both the MMA and the pro wrestling world?
Well, in the whole scheme of things, when people look at you, obviously you want to be recognized for your accomplishments. But I think most of all, I think you want people to recognize you for a human being, a person, and somebody that was good to the people, and was a good guy. I obviously fighting and doing all those things and the accomplishments are, you do them, I mean, you want to be recognized for it. But for me, it's more important for people to know I was a good father, a good husband, and I loved life, and I loved my fans.
Funny, that was exactly where I was just going to head to now. I was just going to say, fan-wise, do you have any words for the fans? Obviously, not in the past, but even the fans from the start through to now, just how they've supported you.
I was actually getting ready to write something on my blog, because we're getting ready to put up a blog on my kidshamrock.com so as I can be more in contact with the fans. But the one thing that I want fans to know is that I came from a broken childhood where I was living out on the street. I'd gotten stabbed. I was in placement at 10. A lot of horrible things happening. I end up at Shamrock Boys Home. I was shown the right way to do things. I went to college, got into some football and some different things, and the fans were great to me even in that sport. But then I got into pro wrestling and fighting, and when the fans had cheered and showed me that I mattered, that they loved what I did. And when they cheered for me, when I would come out from the back, or even if they booed, and most of the time they cheered, but at times they booed because I was from a different town or whatever. But it just gave me this thrill that I was able to entertain people, that I was able to give people joy from what I did. And to me, it will never be forgotten. The fans are above the game. They are so much more important than anything in entertainment. They are the ones that matter. And so for me, it's always wanting to make sure I give a shout out to the fans that supported me and the ones that actually came to watch. I love you guys. God bless. And it was a true honor to be able to entertain you for the past 30 years. Thank you. God bless.
Obviously, just to say, to wrap everything up, we've mentioned kenshamrock.com as your site, but are there any other ways that they can keep up to date with you, whether it's Twitter or how you're doing on any of the ministry stuff that you're doing or whatever? How can they keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, on my kenshamrock.com, I have my Twitter on there. I also have my Instagram, my Facebook, and also my emails. I also have a contact page on there, too, if somebody wants to bring me in for motivational speaking or whether it's ministry work for churches. I have a contact on there, and you can go on there and check it out. That's what I'm doing now. I also, in the investment world, I speak the investment language. I am very much getting ready to go over into Vegas, and I have a partner of mine who has Grok Trading, which is one of my business partners.
Yeah.
On November 15th through the 17th in Las Vegas, I'm going to be up there taking some classes, mentoring classes, and we're inviting people who are interested in the stock market trading or investments to come in and take those classes with me. Let's have some fun and make money. This is my way to give back to the fans for supporting me throughout the years, to be able to go side by side with them and be able to, take these classes and be able to learn how they can invest the money that they already made and make more money on top of it. So it's a great opportunity. I know a lot of people look, when they talk about the stock market and trading, all that, they think of those movies where people are biting their fingernails and the numbers are going up and down and they're squeezing their butt cheeks thinking they're going to lose it all. But that's just not what we do. It's getting the right information, getting the news that you need, and the information from different sides, whether it's the news or whether it's the business itself. But grabbing numbers and putting them together and making sure that you're making sound investments in sound companies, and that way you can make money on it and you're not going to lose anything. So now that's what this class is about, teaching people business language and being able to learn how to get the right information and be able to invest safely. So if you're interested, go on to my site, kenshamrock.com, check it out, Grok Trade, and join us November 15th through the 17th in Las Vegas. But that's kind of it. But we have one fun thing on my site, which a lot of people have found pretty enjoyable. There is an Easter egg on our site. It's, you know, it's hard to find. if you find it, there's a private page on there that lets you on a page, brings you into my life, my personal life, a lot of my family pictures, a lot of different things on there that you'll have fun with. So if you find that Easter egg, man, welcome aboard.
Well, listen, thank you so much for giving me your time this afternoon. It's been genuinely fascinating from my point of view as well, getting to see or getting to know a bit more of the, like, the man behind the on-screen persona, if you know what I mean. So thank you so much. It's been really, really good.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, too. And again, don't forget, I'm very, very much involved with my website, kenshamrock.com. I'm also very involved with my Twitter and Facebook. So if you want to go on and check it out, send me a Twitter, an email, whatever, man. I love my fans. I love being a part of them. You know, so join my family and let's have some fun. God bless you all.